from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy to see you here. Mm-hmm. Happy that it's a Wednesday, first official day of fall.
What you cooking tonight?
Just right after noon.
What you cooking tonight?
You want to know something?
What?
I am going to go meet up with a listener who's become a good friend. I'm going to be having dinner with her.
Hold on. We're not allowed to go to dinner with our listeners.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Are we?
If I could become friends with all of our listeners, I would love that. Like, as in real life.
Mm. Wow.
Yes. So, McKenna, I'm looking forward to it.
Wow.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, what are you doing?
First day of fall. Nothing as cool as that. You know what I mean? You know what I should do? I should be.
You've done a lot of cool stuff this week already. You had some big fundraisers that you
was good. I auctioneered a fundraiser, Cliff Averill Family Foundation, and that was a great time. It was some amazing people at the event, and if you were there, you probably got to witness and see probably the funniest MCs ever, and that was Michael Bennett. Mike Bennett did it with me on stage. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he has comedic timing for sure. He and his brother, who at some point, I have to pull the soundbite when Dory was interviewing him during Super Bowl week, and he had something to say about everyone named Ursula. I know, longtime listeners, he did not know that I was anchoring the news with Dory at the time.
Yeah.
And he had something to say about everyone who was named Ursula. And let me just tell you, it wasn't very nice. Hey, speaking of the Seahawks, though.
Yeah.
Coming up at 10:33, we are going to have a conversation about a comment that Pete Carroll made that has upset
it's a big
Russell
deal.
Wilson's camp.
It's a big deal. We'll talk about it. You don't see the big deal.
I don't. I cannot believe that this is something that upset anybody.
I'm going to show you how I think it's a big deal, and we can both argue.
Okay,
but
that sounds
good. That's nothing new. Let's get to it. That's not Ursula's. It's the show's. It's the top three things that you need to know at 10.
Number one.
The city of Seattle did not just extend the eviction moratorium yesterday. The city council also approved two new regulations that target landlords. And so this first one is going to require that landlords help cover the moving costs of their tenants if the resident's monthly rent is going to increase by more than 10%. What do you think about that?
This is not good. this is what I'm going to do.
I'm laughing at the way you said that. Oh, this is not good.
Okay. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to get emotional about this because I've done that during the pre-show and I did it in the 9 o'clock hour. So I'm just going to simplify this. Right now, Ursula, the rental relief, it's going on in California. I have a buddy of mine who does very well with real estate. He is a landlord. He has been explaining to me the game. He tells me that if he was a landlord in Seattle, he would have problems and issues. Down there in Cali, they're getting their money. So if some of his tenants, all they do is say, hey, I can't pay rent. And then the landlord, that rental relief program, gives them money. It's some shaky stuff going on here. It hasn't barely been that great here in Seattle and in the state of Washington. But let me clearly just talk about this and what this means going forward. What this means is for the families out there, Ursula, that are just trying, for the families out there that are just trying to get on their feet, trying to do the right thing, it's going to be a problem for them because there's so many people that know how to take advantage of the system. And there's so many people that justify taking advantage of the system because they feel that government takes advantage of everyone and or rich people take advantage of everyone. So I'll just kind of put this in layman's terms and I'll throw it to you. When these landlords have the opportunity come January to kick folks out, that's exactly what they're going to do. And you know what? This is going to sound harsh. I don't blame them. I don't blame them because I'll give you money, but you can't wear my clothes. Some people are funny about their money. Some people are very serious about their money. These are investments. I don't I understand that there are people that need rental relief. I understand that there are people that are struggling. But the problem is you have so many people taking advantage, and you have a lot of people in the landlord world that are struggling because there's no help for them. This is a problem. And ladies and gentlemen, in 22 and 23, this is going to increase our homelessness problem.
Okay, so a couple of things. So yes. You are talking about specifically the eviction moratorium being extended.
Yes.
But there's also now this idea that some landlords just keep jacking up the rent to make it to the point where people, it's already expensive in the city of Seattle. And so this ordinance or this new regulation is going to keep it so that it'll be up to the landlords to help their tenants move if they have to move because they can't afford it.
Right.
So you think that is also, again, going to be taken advantage of?
Yes. Yes. No, no, what I mean by that is all of a sudden what you're doing is you're pointing, and during this pandemic, you're basically saying to the landlord, like, ha, tough. You're in the middle and you are going to suffer from this. How about those?
Yeah, this has been for sure not in favor of landlords.
No, no, not at all.
Yeah.
And so let's just say you own a building, and in your building you have 10 or 15 apartments inside of it, right? So, and then in there, you have over half not paying the rent, because I have heard there are buildings out there where people are just flat out not paying the rent. Mm-hmm. So in that case, the owner still has to pay property taxes.
Yep.
And so
or mortgage.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And so what's going to end up happening is some of these places are going to just say, they're going to get distress sale, right? So meanwhile, there's somebody that's really, really rich that's going to say, want me to take that off your hands? Let me get that from you right now. So there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be selling because they can't afford to stay in this game. And so, again, this is another example of the rich getting really rich, because there's some people that's like, you know what? I'm just going to wait this out. I can wait 2 and 3 years.
And those are the bigger landlords.
Yes.
But because we get text messages from the smaller landlords who say, I've got someone in my building right now, my small building with four apartments, who owes $11,000 in back rent. I mean, again, eventually they're going to have to pay it up.
Yep.
Right. So, yeah, for those who are getting a good deal right now and really could be paying, but they're taking advantage. And there's always that group that will take advantage, like, hey, because it's available for me and because other people do it, hey, here's my chance.
Yeah.
They'll justify it in their head.
Come on.
Yeah, eventually we have to pay. So this is one of those where you were saying kicking it down the
road. Kicking the can down the road. Yes.
I think this actually makes the eviction problem worse, because what this basically does is it institutes rent control without rent control. You can't do rent control in our state. But if you're going to say, hey, you have to pay thousands, so what are these landlords going to do? Once the people come to January, they're going to say, if I can't raise the rent more than 10%, you know what? I better get these people out of here, because then I can start the rent at a much higher rate for any new tenant coming in.
And the reason I just wanted to say one last thing, Ursula. The reason why I am so attached to this topic is because of what I've gone through in my life. And because of the nice landlords that helped me. Because of the nice
landlords,
right?
Usually. Yeah.
The smaller landlords where because my credit was so bad, and because I did have an eviction on my credit that would stay there for a long time, I had to go through Craigslist, right, to get a private owner. And then they see my credit and they're like, hey, we're going to take a chance on you. So they take that chance on me. I'm not just saying me. There's so many families that would like to get that chance, that now the landlord's going to say, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, because you've made me carry the burden here for the last 18 months.
Come on.
Why am I going to extend any sort of grace at this point? Because I've been having to take it on the chin.
Yes.
No, I hear you. Now, let's talk about why. Why would the city council approve these regulations? Who are they trying to appeal to?
Oh, great point. I don't really have an answer to that, but I will try my best to say, when I drive through Seattle, I see a lot of cranes, right? So for everyone that says Seattle's dying, I see cranes. I see cranes right here across where we're at.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of building.
And there seems to be a lot of money, a lot of people from outside coming in, buying things cash, right? Just give me that. Give me that. Give me that. So why? This is going to be something that's going to increase things, one. And two, it will also, when people aren't able to pay these type of things, right? That's an opportunity for someone else to get a chance to get in. So I don't have the answer to that, Ursula.
Number two.
Okay. There is a second regulation, and this one is going to require landlords to provide at least 6 months' notice before raising the rent. Right now, you only have to give 2 months. Do you agree with that?
Oh, that's going to help. It's going to help.
Yeah.
But basically, what's all that's going to mean is every time.
Just make a bigger increase.
Thank you. That's all it's going to do.
Yeah.
Like, again, we are kicking the can down the road. And so I feel this way. I feel that people that are in office, I just wonder if they really have a connection and understanding. Those that are making these decisions, just what happens, right? Like, I know there's a lot of people
the Seattle City Council.
I know there's a lot of people who's like, gee, no. We are trying to help out people that are struggling. We are trying to help. You're not helping them. As a matter of fact, you're hurting them down the road, right? That's all you're doing. I see this so clear, Ursula. And again, let me repeat. This whole every 6 months, all you're doing is making these landlords say, okay, we'll give you your warning every 6 months, but I'm telling you right now, there's going to be an increase every single time.
Wow. I would love to hear from people who are in this position. Either you're a small landlord or you are a renter in the city of Seattle. Please text us at 98973 so we can share your story.
Number three.
Don't know if you heard this yesterday, but apparently you're not going to be able to call the hero line anymore, G, and you won't be able to report HOV violators or those people who insist on cutting into the ferry line, because after nearly 40 years of education, that line is going to stop taking messages today. Tony Blank is with the State Transportation Department. He says the program has just run its course.
We're going to take the funding that we were using, the resources and funding we were using to support that program, and transfer that over to some of our other traffic and safety projects so that we can kind of use that money better.
It actually turns out that the state spent about $60,000 a year to keep that line running. The hero signs are going to be taken down over the next couple of months, and they will be replaced with signs reminding all of us that the maximum penalties of violating the rules are hefty, so you don't want to do it.
You know what? I wish that I weren't in studio, because what I'm going to say might upset you.
Okay.
You seem like the type to get on the phone and snitch. You seem like the type that would definitely call on
1-800-HERO.
Yeah. I'm in my carpool, and you see somebody, and because you were running late and you're nervous to get in the carpool lane, you go ahead and you call on me and you say, "This white truck driving right now in the HOV." That I believe you would do that.
It's been running for over 30 years, and I can tell you that I have never dialed that number once.
Oh, really?
So, once again, you were wrong.
Y'all ever get one of them letters, though? Because I got one of those letters. This is great. I'm so glad they shut this down, because I think when people take it upon themselves as a citizen vigilante to dial 764-HERO and do the right thing for society, they expected that there would be some enforcement. But all that happens is you get a nice letter from the Department of Licensing in your mailbox that's like, "Hey, somebody noticed you using the HOV lane, but apparently there was only a single occupant of the vehicle, so we'd really appreciate it if you wouldn't do that again." You get no ticket, so it's really pointless.
Well, now, I have seen, though, coming out on the I-90 tunnel, I have seen where people have gotten pulled over, so that's a bad day. Actually, on Saturday, I almost posted this on the G and Ursula Show Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
I would have posted it after I was done driving, obviously. But I was trying to get Scooter to the dog sitter because I was having my mom's birthday party at our house, and I didn't want, he just likes to snatch food wherever he can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm driving and I'm in a rush and I'm looking. I'm like, oh my God, Saturday traffic's terrible, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So, and it's just me and Scooter. And I'm looking at Scooter. He's in the front seat looking like a boss. He's got his blonde hair, you know, kind of flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it. It's like, can I get into the HOV lane right now? I didn't.
Right.
But I thought about it.
I mean,
could I have gotten away with it?
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there's some animal rights folks that would probably argue for you to be able to ride in the carpool lane. So let me apologize to you on the air for that. I was wrong. My bad. You've never called.
The only time I've ever called, I've called State Patrol. I've called 911 twice because I am that person who sees someone stuck on the side of the road and I don't assume someone has already called. So I will call if it looks like someone needs
help. That's solid. Yeah, that's solid.
That I do, but no, I have not called anyone to report someone. I don't even notice. I'm not even looking.
Yeah. No. Now, I did. Somebody got upset with me because they heard me on with Dave Ross this morning, right? And they're saying, gee, here's the reason why it should matter, because if we keep doing that and there's too many people in the HOV, they're saying down the road is that they're going to say, okay, let's go ahead and toll that. Kind of, it's tolled on the 167 right now. And so you can potentially toll it. I tell you what, I wouldn't mind if it was tolled on the 405, because the 405 is just I'm talking about 405, the S curve over there as you go over by.
You want it to be told? No.
Hard no.
No. What are you talking about? No.
Because I don't use that road.
There you go. How about the whole reason that you have an HOV lane is to encourage more people to ride along with you so that you're not riding solo.
I don't want nobody riding with
me.
That's number one. Number two, the 405 is the place. I'm telling y'all right now, don't be riding in that HOV. You will get caught on the 405. Now, I-5. Oh, man, you good to go, man. They ain't worried about anything on I-5. Watch this.
Don't listen to G. State Patrol troopers right now are shaking their heads like, no, this is not true. This is not true. Do not listen to G.
Okay,
ask
wait.
G how many times he's been pulled over for traffic.
I mean, for riding in the HOV?
Yeah, that's why you love the State Patrol. You've said it before on the air. Why? Because you've been pulled over a bunch.
Yeah, and when they do pull me over, it was for a legit reason. Okay. Like, I really did something wrong. But I am saying, I'm not encouraging HOV. All I'm saying is, if you do that, be prepared to get pulled over on the 405.
Okay.
They not playing.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I-5, you know what I'm saying?
I'm saying, just don't do it.
If you got a big truck that's real tall with tinted windows, can they see inside, though?
Wait, come on, man.
Okay, this next conversation we're going to have, you got to stick around for this.
Yes, we are going. Okay, here's the deal. Pete Carroll had something to say about quarterback play. There is a specific quote. I'm saying, ooh-wee, that's kind of a big deal. Ursula's saying, no, it's not. We'll explain that next. It's G and Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Scenarios is 15 minutes away. We actually talked about that school bus story and the party bus, the stripper bus. Yeah. As long as there are no strippers on it, I'm okay.
Now you can draw the line at strippers.
We talked about it yesterday.
What if the stripper was driving? Because
no,
there is
okay.
a shortage. Okay. Hey, to clarify.
Hey, before we get to this topic, Ursula, have you ever been to a strip club?
Have I been to a strip club?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Well, in Greece, there was a club.
Wait. Before you get into it, did you say, well?
Yes.
Well, I've been in Europe, and there are some clubs that could qualify as.
Why do you? Why does this answer need to be qualified? There's either a yes or a no.
No, it wasn't the kind of strip clubs that you have here, where you're paying the money and put in. Oh. No, I have not done that. But in any case,
are you saying there
are
higher class strip clubs?
No, I'm not saying anything about class.
Okay.
No, nothing. You've just got me on a whole different thing. We're going to talk Seahawks right here.
Okay, good segue.
Yes. Is there trouble in paradise when it comes to head coach Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson? And we're asking this because if you know Pete, apparently he doesn't usually call out specific players when talking about a loss. Right. But after the Seahawks' big loss in overtime in that home opener against the Titans, Pete Carroll seemed to be putting the blame on Russell.
I thought Russ took advantage of the game well until we had a play action pass, and I wish we could control the ball and check the ball down there. Took a shot at Tyler, and then we went up to DK on second down, and then our opportunity escapes us right there, and they get the ball inside of 40. So that sequence was the one. I wish Rush could have helped us there, this made completions for us. We needed to just move the ball there and change the field position at least in overtime, because you're playing field goal right there, and unfortunately we didn't get it done.
I wish Russ could have helped us there.
And what is wrong with it? That is speaking the truth. He just explained everything that happened in that last few minutes.
And yeah, but the game, right? Like the game. Like I thought Russell in the first half was phenomenal and fantastic. I think the Seahawks were phenomenal and fantastic. Most of you at home or whether you're at the game, let's be real. In the first half, you thought, oh, win, right? This is going to be a win.
Yeah, but do you win games by being fantastic just in that first half?
No, ma'am, you don't.
Yeah, and who in that last few minutes had the ball?
Russell did.
So what is the problem with this?
Here's the problem. Imagine if Lillian said to some of my friends on social media, hey, I love G, but I wish he can lose a little bit of weight. She's telling the truth, but did you really have to put that out there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't. So that last thing, I believe, like, it was a rough game. Yes, this was the sequence, but the one part where he says, yeah, I just wish Rush could have did a check down right there. He could have got us some, I wish he would have got some completions there. I just gave you an example.
Okay,
yeah, it's the truth.
Okay, and I'm going to poke a hole in your example.
Okay.
Because you and Lily, okay, you are a public figure.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking about my figure? My figure's public.
And this is not what Lillian is doing.
Right.
She's not doing that. But in this case where we are all watching a game.
Yeah.
Okay, how much is Russell Wilson paid to be the quarterback?
I didn't even know. He gets paid a lot of money, about $35 million a year.
Okay, $35 million a year.
Okay.
Coach Pete Carroll coaches him,
yes.
Is explaining, we're asking, what really happened? Mm-hmm. Well, he wishes that he'd gotten the completion, but he didn't. That's the truth.
Right.
But now, apparently, Russell Wilson's agent is trying to do stuff and spin it, and it looks like, I don't know if you can talk about
No. I'm
thinking to myself, you are one of the highest paid quarterbacks. You are in a very public situation where we all watch the game. We're disappointed. You know what I don't like?
Hmm.
And he didn't even say it meanly. He just said, I wish he had completed that. Okay.
You can say things not in a mean way, and it's still puts a dagger right there in the kidney.
Exactly. So maybe Russell will do a better job completing it next game.
Okay. So
but instead of now putting your agent out there to try to clean it up, I mean, what the heck?
See, Ursula, I think what this comes down to is should your boss ever throw you under the bus? Even if you're in a public position, right? If you're in government, should your boss ever throw you under the bus?
Yeah.
And the thing is, Pete Carroll did. The problem, he's never actually done that before. So the way I read that is the only way your boss throws you under the bus in public is if you have been throwing him under the bus. If you have been directly contravening what he has been asking you to do, and that's what it seems like is the situation here. Mm. Hey, I wish Russ had checked the ball down more because I've asked him to a million times. We've done Tell the Truth Monday. Let's do Tell the Truth Tuesday with the public.
Come on, Chef.
Okay, wait.
Let the church say amen. Chef came with it. Now, everything that you just said in this conversation, and there seems to be a theme on this show. Sometimes what's happening right now when you're in the midst of everything is one thing. But sometimes you got to be a thinker and see what's down the line, what's down the road. In this case, this happened right now. Now the Seahawks are going to travel to Minnesota this weekend. They're going to travel to a 0-2 Minnesota team. This is a must-win game for them, right? This is a must-win game for them. Because one thing, if you're a Huskies fan out there, I know it felt good for you guys to get that win. And one thing about winning, winning cures all. Even if there's problems, it don't matter. Winning cures all. And then when you lose, it's, oh, well, this is a problem. And this happened, and this happened, and this happened, right? But so they need to go and win so we can get rid of this whole little dusty conversation.
Here's my question, and I want you guys listening, text us, 98973.
Everybody, by the way, everybody's on your side.
Would anyone have even paid attention to this had Russell Wilson's camp not made a big to-do of it? This would have gone over most of our heads.
Yeah, I guess so.
It would have just been, hey, yeah, this is what happened. Finally, you're speaking the truth. This, I wish that would have happened, but...
Yeah. Well, look, in this case, everybody's on your side, Ursula. You win in this case. let's just... I think that Russell Wilson has been playing phenomenal and fantastic. Yes, that overtime loss was, it really sucked. But I tell you what sucked worse than that was them, the defense giving up those touchdowns at the end of regulation. It was the defense giving up that 60-yard run to Derrick Henry to get to overtime in the first place. Shouldn't it have never even been in that situation?
Yeah, but maybe they were tired.
And quit counting Russell's money. Him making $35 million a year, that doesn't...
Should be irrelevant, right?
Hey, coming up next in scenarios, find out what happens when someone writes in to ask us if she should intervene in an argument between her parents about going on a cruise. Y'all know Ursula is a guru and expert on cruises, so we'll find out next. It's she and Ursula. Boy, just let that sit for a minute and just think about the idea of being on a cruise. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it'll be time for Agree to Disagree. But right now, let's get to scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Ursula, I for sure need your help. My mom and dad are having a fight. And here's the deal. They're both retired, and they love to go on cruises. Most of the cruise lines are operating again, but they're having problems again, obviously, with COVID. My dad is fully vaccinated, but my mom is not. And she is not intending to be vaccinated. She's dead set against it. It's not a problem in their marriage, but the problem is in the cruises. My dad thinks they should not go on a cruise because she's not vaccinated. My mom says that so many people are getting sick, they need to book a cruise to support the cruise industry. That sounds crazy to me. What should I do? I would hate it if my parents went on a cruise and something really bad happened to my mom. My dad told me he's thinking about booking the cruise and then hoping that by January, when they plan to go on that cruise line will require all passengers to be fully vaccinated. That way, he can get her to take the shot, or they'd be canceled. My question, should I get involved with this? 98973 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're at the bat first.
Yeah, she should get involved with it. I wouldn't go. And then it'll be a different kind of trip, and maybe mom will change her mind. And I think dad's right. I have a cruise book. Mark and I are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Steven's going to join us. So our oldest son's going to join us.
What about Eric?
He's going to still be in school.
Oh.
I know. Just a bummer. But, you know, we got a great deal for January, but we're all vaccinated. And this is a cruise line that requires everyone to be vaccinated. And even that, knowing that, I know that that's not a guarantee.
Wait, are all three of you guys staying in the same room?
Yeah.
In the little bitty room?
It's not that bitty. And we've done it before. Are you kidding me?
Three?
We have traveled. Wait, what's that?
Three in one room?
Yes. You spend so little time in your... Trust me, you spend little time... I'm looking forward to this. You spend so little time in your room when you're on a cruise.
Okay.
Yeah. You just can't get over that. Just remember. Okay, yeah. Anyway, it's going to be a treat. We've done that, too. When we went to Vegas, we all stayed in the same room.
Four of us.
Yes. Two queen beds. Yes. It's not an issue. Okay, but let's get over that. I wouldn't go on something like that unless I was vaccinated. And so, no.
Chef, should she get involved? What's the deal?
I live with my parents, and so I can say this from experience. Don't get involved in your parents' arguments ever. Just like you don't want anyone involved in your arguments. And by the way, if you are the person in the relationship that is drawing other people into your arguments, you are the wrong. You are in the wrong. You do not appeal to others to try and solve issues within your relationship unless that person is a professional or you're having a private conversation with someone about the problems that you're having, and that conversation stays between the two of you. Period.
Here's my advice, dial 1-800, mind your business.
But it is her business, because they were all three going to go on the cruise,
nope.
Correct?
No, it's not her business. You let yes, all of them are going to go.
Yeah,
all of
so
them.
She has the opportunity to say, I'm not going to go, Mom. If you want to go, Mom, you go.
But what do you mean? She comes over to the house anyways. What are we talking about? Don't get involved in that.
But your mom is going to be exposed to other people that you don't know.
And I'm saying, I'm not arguing.
Out of concern for Mom?
Yeah, I'm not arguing that. You're right. I'm not saying you're not right, Ursula. You're right. I'm saying, 1-800, mind your business.
In our family, we all get involved in each other's business. Are you kidding me?
I couldn't see Honey doing that.
Are you kidding me? We all get involved.
No.
We are all dragged in. We all get involved.
98973, statement for text line. Should she get into her parents' business? Ursula says get into the business.
Because
both Chef and I say
she's
no.
She's already there.
There is no win.
She's already there. She can just choose to, or she just chooses to get
would
out
you,
of it. Don't
would,
go on that trip.
Would you agree that most of the time, when you get involved in someone else's argument, that you get the strays? You catch the strays. Don't you agree with that, Chef? I mean, you can't.
There's no winning. The one thing in this situation is if you perceive that someone in your life is doing something that is dangerous to
yes,
them, that can actually physically harm them,
yes.
It's a tougher call.
Yes, exactly. So it's not just about getting in your business. It's actually talking about safety. And the other part of it, too, is sometimes that other person who's brought in is the mediator, and I'm usually the mediator.
Now, that I believe. I do believe that you're usually the mediator. As a matter of fact, for all of you that's texting in right now and that disagrees with Ursula, you guys are always turning to Ursula anyways to be the mediator on topics. So you and everybody else in this world are the reason why that Ursula gets in everybody's business. That's right. Alright. We're going to do a little agree to disagree next. You guys know we pull out the pillows, we have some fun, stick around for it, and you know what? Maybe, just maybe, you'll agree with me for a change. Hey, it's fall, it's a new season, let's do it. It's Gene Ursula.